Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
This episode is sponsored by Section 8 Rentals Made Easy. For years, Section 8 Rentals have been one of the best ways to make money in real estate, but most people overlook the program because they've never had a guide show them how to easily navigate the system and get paid. In this ebook, you will learn how to make your property available for Section 8, how to pass the inspection, and how to get paychecks rolling in like clockwork. Visit Section8RentalsMadeEasy.com or click the link in the show notes to get your copy today.
So you want to start a podcast, huh? Well, we got something to help you. The Black Real Estate Dialogue brings you the How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience ebook and webinar bundle.
We are controlling transmission.
Come and put info into action as we show you the step-by-step process to sharing your successful podcast on a budget. This bundle is full of the exact details, social media hacks, and podcasting process we've used to gain 13,000 downloads and over 10,000 Instagram followers. But that's not all. As a bonus, you'll receive the exact super trackers we use to stay organized and free access to our private Facebook group designed to help you execute. Make sure you click that link now because there is an audience for you to reach. The How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience, the ebook and webinar bundle presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Do you really think investing in real estate is too expensive? Well, you wrong about that. Presenting a beginner's guide to buying your first out-of-state property, a Black Real Estate Dialogue course. That's right, it's the new course presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue, teaching you how to develop the investor's mindset, the advantages of investing out-of-state, getting your finances in order, finding the right location, assembling your team, creating financing strategies, how to find and analyze properties, how to find tenants, real-life case studies, and so much more in bonus content.
Oh yeah, did we mention you have lifetime access?
My goodness! If you have dreams of buying a property out of state but have no idea where to start, well, this is the guide for you. Learn the tips from someone with firsthand experience. Are you looking for a community of like-minded individuals and access to experts in real estate?
Yeah.
Are you interested in real estate but need more support and guidance?
You know who it is?
The Black Real Estate Dialogue presents the Real Estate Investing Community. No matter how much or how little real estate experience you have, we've created a community for you because your perspective is important. All right, tell me, what's the number one place where you can do Q&A with experienced guest speakers 3 times a month? How about unlimited access to past guest speakers' recordings? What about a private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everybody in the community to share resources and support each other? Head on over to gumroad.com/bread. That's gumroad.com/BRED. It's the Real Estate Investing Community presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Come join us today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 61. A couple quick announcements before we get into this episode. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, and also leave a comment on whichever platform you're listening to this on. This will help us reach more people, and it'll also help us move up in the ranking. So thank you in advance for helping us in that way. If you'd like to get the latest updates on what's happening at the Black Real Estate Dialogue, text BRED to 21,000 to join the free VIP text list. If you'd like to gain early access to episodes, bonus content, discounts on merch, and more, join our Patreon program. Visit patreon.com/Black Real Estate Dialogue to join or visit the link in the show notes. One last announcement. I'm very excited about this. Our website has officially launched. So if you go to blackrealestatedialogue.com, you can access all of our information, all of our resources, everything you need that's related to the Black Real Estate Dialogue can now be found there. I'm very excited and very thankful to our digital design director, Joshua Foster, who created the website, who built it, who designed it. He did an excellent job. So if you need any services, if you need design or web services, definitely reach out to him. His Instagram is MVPFoster1, and I'll have his information in the show notes as well. So without further ado, I'm very excited about this episode. Let's get into it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. I'm very excited for this episode today. Here with me, I have Ashley Scott out of Stonecrest, Georgia. Ashley, thank you so much for taking the time to join today.
Thank you today for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yes, for sure, for sure. So a bit of a backstory for the listeners. Over the summer, I saw like a meme and it said, I believe 19 Black families purchased, I think 97 acres of land. And I posted on my page. I'm like, I got to get these folks on the show. Or someone from this organization. So I remember reaching out a couple of times and saw the EYL interview. I'm like, all right, I got to figure out a way to make this happen. And thankfully, I was really excited to receive a response and be able to get it scheduled. That's kind of the backstory. And I mean, I'm looking forward to this episode. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Definitely. So I guess before we get into everything, can you tell us more about yourself, where you're from, what you do, so that people can get to know you a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, I am Ashley Scott. I am a realtor. I am originally from West Philadelphia, born and raised where the playground was at. I spent most of my days. I am a graduate of the Philadelphia High School for Girls, and I am a proud graduate of Bennett College for Women, based in Greensboro, North Carolina. My background is I have a bachelor's in psychology. And when I graduated, I did door-to-door fundraising for the Human Rights Campaign. And then I got into door-to-door sales for AT&T U-verse. And then I started my own business as a virtual assistance business that morphed into a social media marketing company that I have now had for over 10 years. Wow. Where I had the blessings and the pleasure of doing marketing for like Spike Lee, Amazon Studios, and all kinds of cool, huge projects like the Celebration Bowl. So I just love, marketing, especially urban marketing, what they call urban marketing, Black marketing to us, right?
Yeah.
And so when I got pregnant with my children and I met my husband, I decided I wanted to take my marketing skills into real estate so that I could build generational wealth. I'm a really studious person, and I've taken a lot of time to do research around how to become financially independent. And one of the things that was clear to me is that our country finds that the most millionaires, billionaires, people who are wealthy, they made their wealth through the real estate industry, and they continue to protect their wealth by holding their assets in real estate. And so I became a real estate agent in 2018, in March of 2018. And so I'm really excited that this is my third year in business, and I have had some bumps and bruises as a real estate agent. Being a real estate agent is not easy. It's a hustle, but I am grateful that I let my principles lead me. And so wanting to create generational wealth for my family, for my friends and other people in the Black community, that drives me. And so that's how we, in this pandemic, after seeing, George Floyd get murdered and Ahmaud Arbery be murdered, we decided we wanted to take our skill sets and our dollars and come together and build what is now known as the Freedom Georgia Initiative.
Definitely, definitely. Thanks for that introduction. The first thing I thought about when I saw the meme, I'm like, how does that happen? Like, we talk about buying back the blog, we talk about these different things. I never thought about like building a city, building a town. And most of us probably never thought that far, but y'all are doing it. How did that come together? Like, what's the backstory of that?
Yeah, it was very much something that I have always said in conversations with my friends, like, we need to come together. We need to collaborate. We need to purchase, land, and we can farm. And I've always had this idea of intentional community, of what we could create together. And when all of the momentum of the social injustice movement kind of took place over 2020, it really sparked people's desires to not just wish and hope and think about, okay, what can we do together? When the viral meme about Toomsboro, a whole city for sale for $1.7 million, mm-hmm. when that hit, it made us say, okay, you know what? This could be something that works. Like, we could all come together and buy a town. And we went and we checked out the open house and we seen all these Black investors and real estate agents. People came from North Carolina, Florida, and all over Georgia to come see Toomsboro, Georgia, and rural middle Georgia. And me and my friend Renee and my friend Q were there too, because we wanted to be in the mix. We wanted to see what was going to happen, if this was a potential possibility for our people. And while we were there, we came and checked out that 96 acres of land. And we were like, this is a smart play. When we got done seeing so many people invested in taking the time to come see Toomsboro, I was like, if nothing happens, I realized that, you know what, if we build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. Because for that little viral article to have brought all these Black folks to middle of rural Georgia, there was something happening. There's something to this. And so we literally was like, let's invest in this land. And if nothing else, let's see, you know, I got 10 friends, Renee, my partner, she was like, I got 10 friends. Let's see if we all can work together to buy this land. It was affordable. It was gorgeous. And we could see the vision of turning it into a place where we could farm and where we could teach our children how to hunt and build our retirement homes and put a lake on there and fish. Like, we saw it immediately. Yeah. And so we were like, yeah, that's what we wanted. And that's what we decided we would bring people in together around that vision. And then that vision just grew and grew and grew.
Got it. Got it. I think what's so crazy about that is you went to see what everybody else was talking about. You went to see Toomsboro, and you happened to stumble upon what ended up being the perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think that's just crazy. So you get there, you realize, you know, this could be a good opportunity, something we should move on. How then do you, like, gather the troops, if you will, like, get the people together who are interested in this opportunity, and then proceed to, like, start acquiring? What were those steps like after initially realizing, like, this could be it?
It was like everything they teach us in school, a PowerPoint presentation. So I literally, me and Renee, we sat down with a friend of ours who's a lawyer, mm-hmm. and we asked her, like, how we should structure this thing, what would make the most sense. Because we weren't thinking about, like, we knew eventually we might turn it into a cityhood movement, mm-hmm. but we just wanted to buy the land and build houses on it and put a lake and, you know, a horse stable, a farm, a bed and breakfast, you know? So yeah. We were like, how do we make something like that work? And she's like, it's a business. Just start an LLC. And I was like, okay. And that's what we did. And so we started an LLC after we did the PowerPoint. So once she told us everything we needed to do, we made a PowerPoint. We laid out, you know, this is how much the land is going to cost. This is how much people's contributions would need to be if we were able to get 20 families together to do it. And everybody that we thought would be interested in it, we sent a text message out and invited them to a Zoom. And then they hopped on the Zoom, because I'm a real estate agent, Renee's a businesswoman, an entrepreneur. People who have a business mind trust us in our mm-hmm. community. So they knew when we said, hey, jump on the Zoom, we have a private investment presentation we want to make. People jumped on the Zoom, and I went through the PowerPoint presentation and I wrote the vision. I made it plain. I let them see what it was going to be able to create for them. And it wasn't just a play like, oh, we're going to invest, you know, $5,000 and then we're going to make $50,000. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the play. The idea was, we're going to invest this money and we're going to own an asset. And we're gonna nurture that asset for our family so that we can hold this asset in our families for generations to come. So that's how we approached it. We didn't approach it as a quick flip. We approached it as a long-term investment that would create a home base for our businesses and for our, you know, retirement and our future of having a sustainable community that we knew our children would be able to live in and be okay. If they didn't want to do nothing else, they would have something that was theirs.
Definitely. I love it. I love it. And it's interesting. You talk about like a home base for businesses and so forth. I mean, it's kind of hard to find that in different parts of the country. You know, can you talk more about that and just kind of that vision? Because, you know, once everything's up and running and, you know, obviously I'm sure it's a process, but I feel like that is going to be such a key component to the community and to the city when everything is developed. So I'd love to hear more about your thoughts on that and how that idea has evolved. Over the past month.
Absolutely. So for us, it's about creating a culture, creating a space and a place where we're supporting one another, where our dollars are recycling, mm-hmm. and that, you know, we get back to that ideal of a Black Wall Street like the Gapwood District in Oklahoma, because that's who we are. We are empire and kingdom builders, and we just have not had a place where we are the owners and the play and really designing that community from the ground up. A lot of the communities that we have inherited were designed for negative impact. And what we want to do is create a community from the ground up with the intention of making positive impact for our families and the residents that live there. So the ideals that we are creating this community around is this idea that we support each other and practice group economics and collaborative economics. We shop local. We buy Black. We create jobs for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And instead of going outside of our community, we create a self-sustainable community that is economically independent. Because we're not just consumers, we're producers, because we have exceptional, brilliant, talented people within our community that when given the opportunity to thrive in a setting where we're consciously choosing to support one another, where when we know, like, we have $1.3 trillion that Black Americans control annually. Yep. There are 48 million Black Americans in America as we speak. But only 26 million out of those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that we control annually, 26 million stays in our community for only 6 hours. We need to create communities where we are consciously, strategically, and intentionally capturing every dollar and circulating it and recycling it as often as we possibly can. And that's the culture we want to create. We want to attract businesses and we want to attract residents that want to participate in a culture where we know our dollars never leave our community.
Yep. That's it. I agree 100%. So was it like completely raw land, just like grass and trees? Like, was there anything on it when you?
Yeah, just literally grass and trees. There's a tributary. There's a little water spring that kind of runs through. But that's it. Now, the land is rich with animal life, wild boar and deer. There's mullein and lots of medicinal herbs that we're discovering, because Georgia has tons of great herbs and medicinal wild grown things. And we're lucky enough to have a farmer in our collective that is helping us to look and understand what the native species on the land is and how we can utilize that as our medicine. Mm-hmm. So just being who we are, you know, as organic people, creative people of the land, and embracing that. Yeah. So, the land is just straight up raw right now. We do have on the 404 acres of land that we acquired, old, like 100-year-old brick house that is in really good shape that wow. was used as a hunter's lodge. And so we'll be renovating that and turning it into an Airbnb / sell center for us to be able to give tours and help people who are planning on building custom homes and buying plots of land in Freedom. That'll be kind of like the base for that.
Definitely. So I'm like mind blown right now, because it's like you basically purchased enough land to like build a community town and so forth. So like, what are the steps? Like where do you go from there? Cause you just think about everything you need. Like, so like plumbing, electricity, as you mentioned, businesses, like probably, I don't know, maybe like roads.
Yes. Like
figuring out where the house is going to be. Where is it? Like, where do you even start?
Today's inspirational quote of the day is from Spike Lee. I believe in destiny, but I also believe that you can't just sit back and let destiny happen. A lot of times an opportunity might fall into your lap, but you have to be ready for that opportunity. You can't just sit there waiting on it. A lot of times you're going to have to get out there and make it happen. Now, this is a great quote for a couple of reasons. You know, I also believe in destiny. I believe there are things we're meant to do. I believe everyone has a purpose, but I also believe that we have to work. I also believe that we have to pursue things and try things and also take advantage of opportunity. You know, many of us have opportunities we haven't taken advantage of in life. So I want you to decide today that you are going to create opportunities. You're going to recognize when opportunities come your way and just take one step forward.
Yeah, so we start with a master planner. So we hired a Black-owned business that is called Advanced Business Solutions. They are actually an energy technology company that is partnered with some amazing architects, Black-owned architects, Black-owned civil engineers, Black-owned builders. We are going to design and do the first thing is to do our topography survey, our percolation test to understand what areas can withstand what load for what types of building. We are dealing and drawing up like MOUs with like our lenders, people who we're partnering with, so that way when families decide they want to move to Freedom, we know we have a financing institution ready that before the homes can actually go anywhere, we have to start with the topography survey, the percolation test. And then from there, what we'll do is design our community plan as far as where the farming will go, where the tree planting will go for, you know, lumber, and where the actual subdivisions and the water and the storm water runoff and the roads will go. All of that gets planned first. And then once we have that plan in place, we'll begin to start building.
So the master plan.
So once we have the master plan in place, to become a city, we have to have 200 residents. And what we need to do is offer services. So services like EMT, firefighter, library. And then, of course, we have to have a guideline and master plans around what part of the city will be for industrial, what part of the city will be commercial and mixed use, what parts of the area are zoned for residents. We can create permits and ordinances. But first, we have to get a charter written. So we have to hire a lawyer, hire a city clerk, hire a team of people to actually write out what the city charter and the rules are to become the city of Freedom, submit that to the state, and hope we will get a question on the ballot as to whether or not we can be recognized as the city of Freedom, Georgia. And if that is voted as a yes, then we will officially be the city of Freedom, Georgia.
Definitely. And what's the timeline on something like that? Is it like a few years? Like, is there Is it kind of like
definitely
it just depends?
The shortest period that I've heard in Georgia is 2 years.
Okay.
The longest period has been 14.
Okay.
So it really just depends on the area and how much resistance there is. So in the area that we're building in, there's very few residents in that area as it is. So as we bring new residents in and those new residents come and decide like, hey, we really want Freedom Georgia to happen, then we'll be able to push it along a lot further and faster because there won't be quite so much opposition.
Got it. That makes sense. That makes sense. That's really cool. So obviously, like, this stuff is not cheap. It costs money. Like, do you have lenders for this kind of thing? Like, are there institutions that are willing to lend on these kind of projects?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not easy. I don't want anybody to ever think that it's like easy to go out here and get money. I'm always shaking my can. to be honest, creative financing is what we use to do these deals. Mm-hmm. We used owner financing to purchase our first 97 acres. And then we used a hard money lender to get the 404. And we are lucky enough now that we have been in business long enough, because when we started this company, we started it in July of 2020. Mm-hmm. So we were a brand new company. It's very hard to get credit as a brand new company.
Yeah.
But because of the credit worthiness of the people who were on the company, and because we, you know, had a little cash reserves, because as a group, we put money up to be able to do what we needed to do, we were able to make this happen. And so we have been working with, again, some Black-owned businesses. Yeah. That are lenders in Nevada, in Utah, and people in Florida. So we've gotten some really great help from Black-owned businesses and other owned businesses, because our hard money lender is not a Black-owned business, mm-hmm. but we got a Black loan officer, shout out to Dozell Varner. Yeah. But yeah, you have to be, you know, willing to ask for what you need and have a conversation. And I think our project was really unique in this time that it manifested, with so much going on in the world in this Black Lives Matter social justice movement situation we were in. It was easy to be able to attract the resources to be able to do this project, because it's needed and it's a solution to where we need to be going as a people when we're talking about that, you know, we want to have a better and brighter future for Black Americans.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I remember when we had our previous chat, something you mentioned was you can't always wait for people to fix it or fix the issue. Like, you know, we don't always have a safe haven or places that we feel safe or fully comfortable in many places in this country, like even in our community sometimes. Right. So what better way to kind of start from the ground up, and you literally can grow, you know, start it as you want, put things in place, whatever it is that's best for the community. So I couldn't agree more, and I think it's important what y'all are doing. I'm sure it'll inspire other people who might have been thinking about it. Maybe there's a place near them that they want to do the same thing.
Yeah. And that's our goal. We hope that we inspire other people to think seriously about buying rural land and developing it over time. Recreational agricultural land, it's affordable. It's like having a good piece of art in your portfolio is what I say. It's more affordable than people think, and you can get it through owner financing so that it doesn't impact your debt to income ratio. It's just another way to build wealth for your family that is often overlooked. If you never build anything on it, to own a good tract of recreational land in the midst of this pandemic, there's always money-making opportunities. You can put an RV on there. You can be a RV resort. You can be able to create Airbnb experiences. You can, you know, create a camping experience like we did with our land in the Big Black Camp Out. So it's always good to step outside of the box and look at real estate plays that you can make that are more affordable. And if you luck up and you get a piece of land that is, you know, great for growing lumber, you can, there's the forest, the Department of Forestry has programs, and the Department of Conservation in your state forestry, because I'm sure people are listening from all over the country. There's ways to take that rural land and make an income, a passive income that other cultures have been doing for years, and we're just not into it. And a lot of people, when they talk about being a real estate investor, they're only talking about buying houses, flipping houses, wholesaling houses. But this rural land play is a strong buy and hold opportunity, because it's an asset that doesn't go anywhere. And if you play it the right way and you are smart about it, you can allow it to make money for you with some of these agricultural programs if you have a large enough parcel. And if you have a smaller parcel, there's still some ways that you can be smart and make a revenue stream from it. And then again, hold it in your wealth portfolio. And if you need to sell it on a rainy day, it may have appreciated in value, especially if you found a piece of land in an area that turns out to be up and coming area that is a beneficiary of suburban sprawl and gentrification.
Definitely, definitely. I think there's one thing very, very interesting that you mentioned there, just like buying land and how I think you said the Department of like Forestry or Agriculture, there's different ways that to receive income from them based on the land. So I guess for someone who's interested in that, maybe they hear this like, oh, wow, maybe I'll start looking into land. Like what tips would you give them? Whether they want to do it like on a small scale, or, you know, maybe get together with their family and get a larger piece of land.
Yeah. So one thing I would say is, first and foremost, check out, it's a website called landflip.com. That's a great website to kind of go on and compare prices and see what's out there. And then, of course, you know, want to work with a real estate agent, somebody who knows the area that you're interested in investing in. If you are investing in out of state and buying land in an area that you're not familiar with, it's essential that you work with a realtor in that area that is reputable and honest and that can tell you whether or not this would be a good investment for you or not. And then to, you know, make that investment if you have the money to make that investment. This is not a quick flip. You should only be investing in rural land as a means of a portfolio asset or as something for your wealth portfolio if you already have, you know, a primary home that you have, you know, been paying down and you've got some equity in, so that you're not, you know, you should have an emergency fund. Like the land play is not something you do as a quick flip. Yeah. This is something you do as a part of your investment strategy. Like I said, this is like buying a good piece of art or an expensive bottle of wine that you know that over time is going to be a collector's item, right? And land's obviously not going to be a collector's item, but it will appreciate over time, especially they're not making no more land. Yep. And if there's development in the area that you had to happen to purchase your land in that comes 10 years, 20 years down the line, something that you might have picked up for $15,000 might turn into a $150,000 investment. So that's a really good rate of return if you have a $15,000 to make that kind of investment. So that's something I would say, don't get into this if you're trying to, you know, turn your money right around really quickly. It's not a stock market type game. This is not like Bitcoin or playing, you know, day trade and options. Yeah. Land is long-term play. And I would definitely say consider owner financing or buy it outright, and be sure to pay your taxes. And then you can also look at people's delinquent taxes as a really great way to pick up that land.
Definitely.
Today's real estate definition of the day is turnkey property. A turnkey property is a home that is completely or very close to move-in ready.
Something I also want to make sure we talk about is the Black Achievement Fund and your partnership with them. So could you tell us more about that and how people can support that?
Yeah. So the Black Achievement Fund is a national nonprofit organization. It's a economic development corporation, a community development corporation that has one goal: to create a sustainable economic fund for Black people to take care of and meet our needs. We have so many talented people and brilliant business owners that can meet all of the needs that we have as a community, but we don't have a budget, right? Whenever we start talking about all these visions that we have as a people, where are we gonna get the money from, right? So that's what the Black Achievement Fund is about. The Black Achievement Fund, $9 individually isn't powerful. $9 by itself, you can get some coffee at Starbucks, you can watch Hulu for a month, right? But if we can get 10 million people giving $9 a month, that's $90 million a month that we can then use to invest in the infrastructure for our communities, that we can be able to give out 0% microloans, grants, scholarships. We can build our own Afrocentric birthing centers. We can build our own universities. We can build our own endowment funds for our HBCUs. We can take our $9 a month and collectively make a major impact on Black American challenges and disparities that are affecting us. We can be the change we want to see. And that's what the Black Achievement Fund is about. And that is why we partnered with them as the Freedom Georgia Initiative, because now that we have the land, we have a plan, we need the budget so that we can build this community and make it the best community that the world has ever seen, and then replicate that. Because if everybody keeps giving $9 a month, that $90 a month, we can go from city to city. We can build communities all over the globe that are for our people to be able to keep recycling our dollars and taking care of each other as the tribes and villages and empires that we used to be. So sign up for the Black Achievement Fund so that we can take that little bit, because a little bit is a whole lot when it starts coming together. So I really hope that you all will make the commitment to put your money where your mouth is. And it's $9 a month for the culture, for us to have a sustainable fund for our own Black agenda, because we have one, and it's about making generational wealth a reality for our people.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, $9, everybody has $9 a month. So
everybody got $9.
You know, where can is there like a website where people can find
Yes. www.baf.solutions is the website to become a member of the Black Achievement Fund. And then if you just want to connect with Freedom Georgia, we're at freedomgeorgia.com. You spell Georgia completely out, and you'll find us, get on our newsletter. We also have a GoFundMe. You can visit GoFundMe.com and just type in building a thriving Black safe haven, because that's what we're doing. We're building a thriving Black safe haven.
Definitely, definitely. I love it. I love it. And, you know, I'm just thinking on the interview, and the craziest part about it is like, this is just the beginning, you know, like I can see having more conversations in the future on progress and stuff, but like, this is just the beginning, and there's tangible ways for our people to be part of it. You know, even if we can't all move there, like there's ways for us to support it financially, there's ways for us to support it in other ways. And, you know, I think it's going to be definitely going to be something historic. And, you know, I was thinking more about our conversation previously, and it's like, we all understand redlining. We know what that did in our communities. We know all the things that we weren't allowed to do for so long as it relates to housing. But to get back to a point where we could come together and, you know, build a whole city is just incredible. So, I mean, I'm so excited. I can't wait for our listeners to hear this episode. I can't wait for people to, I can't wait to watch the progress and see how things develop over the years. I know it's going to be something huge, and I hopefully I can come down and see it in person one day. But yeah, I mean, this has just been an amazing interview. And if you have any parting words, you know, definitely feel free to share.
Well, I appreciate you for taking the time to interview me today, Sam. It's always a pleasure when I get to share our story and hopefully inspire others to jump out on faith and to buy that land, especially as a group. If we can begin to be much more intentional, I always quote Killer Mike and his quote, it's time for us to plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. And what a better way to do that than to get with your family, get with your friends, the people that you love, and say, let's commit together to building generational wealth, because I want my neighbors to be my family and friends, because it's a lot easier to love your neighbor as yourself when it's somebody that you like, right? Yeah. And so that's the kind of communities that I want to build. And I hope that you are inspired to build the kind of community that you want to live in and that you deserve with your family and friends. It's time for us to all become community developers and become civically engaged in this world we have in front of us. It's up to us to change it. And the BAF slogan is, it's our world in our hands. So let's get busy.
Let's do it. Thank you so much again, Ashley. And thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. If you want to keep up to date on what we have going on, text BRED to 21,000. If you want to support us as an official patron, go to patreon.com/blackrealestatedialogue. Thank you all again so much. I look forward to hearing from you all soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's BRED Podcast. Until next time. Reached the end of the show. Thanks so much for listening. We value your time, and that's why we want to give you the best sounding, best produced quality of content we possibly can. And this podcast you've been listening to has been edited and produced by yours truly. I'm Donald the Voice. I'm a 10-year voiceover artist, narrator, and production specialist that wants to see only the best life-giving, equipping, and long-lasting content be produced to help others. So if you have commercial, video editing, or other production needs, I'd love to talk with you. That's right. Visit DonaldTheVoice.com and hit the contact page to talk about how we can work together to bring your content to life. Okay, so you're not an email person. Well, you can also contact me on Instagram at DonaldTheVoice or on Facebook.com/Donald.TheVoice. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.